You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Kurt Owen, and welcome back to Victories Assured. We've been talking about knowing and believing the love of God. But last year, we were rocking folks world talking about the fact that it really answering the question, because remember where we started. We talked about that there's a difference between knowing about the love of God and believing the love of God. We talked about how much God loved you, and we haven't really hit hard yet on exactly how much he loves you, but we began to talk about it. And then we started talking about how God was a good God, that God is love, and that he has all that love for you. And then we tackled a pretty important question, which is, if God is love and God is good, then why does all these bad things happen, and why do all these issues come up? And so we've been going down through a lot of scripture. In fact, we took all last week to answer that. Now, part of the reason for the confusion is this, is because of these things where people tell people, well, God's will just automatically happens, that God is in control, and just whatever God wants, that's what the way it goes. And we spent a considerable amount of time establishing last week that man was given dominion, and God gave him his word that he had dominion over all creation. And that once he was allowed to use that dominion however he wanted to, and he decided to yield it to sin and death. And when he did, that brought about the curse into the earth, which causes the storms, the birth defects, and all of that, because death was allowed to work. Now, it was never God's will. Then we began to talk about, well, then if it wasn't God's will, why didn't he just undo it? Because if he truly loved us, wouldn't he just say, I love you so much, I'm just not going to let this happen? No, because God does not, as much as he loves you, he will not violate his word for you. And though God can do anything, the minute he gave his word, he limited himself to what he would do. And I wanted to prove this to you. Now, we went over several different scriptures and stuff, but I wanted to prove to you this whole concept of God just does not do just whatever he wants to do. That's not true. So if you've had a loved one die and told you that God did it, that's not true. If you are sitting there looking at all the people starving in Africa and around the United States and stuff, and thinking, well, if God is a good God, why is this happening? Because it's not God. It is man utilizing his authority, and then man is not utilizing that authority to help his fellow man. He's actually stopping God from doing what he wants. Well, nobody can stop God. Well, then there's a couple problems, and we looked at a couple of those last week, and specifically in regards to healing. We look in Luke chapter 5, where the power of the Lord was present to heal all the people that were there, but not a single person got healed. We saw where Jesus went to his own hometown and wanted to get people healed, but they wouldn't receive him. And so he was not, it doesn't say he would not. We're talking about Mark chapter 6. He said it wasn't that he would not heal them, it's that he could not heal them. And again, this goes back to the whole thing about if Jesus was, you know, I had a minister actually say to me, well, if healing was for today, then you should just go down and clear out the hospitals, because if that's where Jesus were around today, that's what he'd do. No, it isn't, because we see specifically, and we'll probably look at an account today, where there was multitudes of sick people that Jesus did not heal because he wasn't asked to. And they didn't seek him for that. Here's the truth. Every person that asked Jesus for healing was healed. Every person that sought healing received it. Okay? You cannot argue with that. You can come up with some harebrained, dumb doctrine. Well, you know, God doesn't heal everybody, but you can't prove that in the life of Jesus. People say, well, of course Jesus did it because he needed to prove he was the Son of God. Well, then we look in Mark chapter 5, he failed. Right? Because he couldn't do any mighty work there because of their unbelief. Right? But I wanted to show you a couple other things here. And let's look here at John chapter 5 first. In John chapter 5, this is an interesting story. Now, let me say this. I can't tell you I understand everything that's at work in this story. I mean, I guess the truth be told, I can't tell you I understand everything about anything. But I definitely, there's a lot at work here that I don't necessarily get, but I can see what happened, okay? At least from the outward. And we're in verse 2. Now, there is in Jerusalem a sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people. Now that's interesting, isn't it? A great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the movement of the water. Okay? For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well, whatever the disease he had. Now, I do think this shows that God wants people well, that it's not just God's will to heal certain people, but God wants everybody well. Why? Well, because it would work for anybody who got in the pool, right? Not just for certain people. If God only wanted certain people healed, then it would only work for certain people to step into the pool. But when he stepped into the water, anybody got healed, no matter who it was. And this was an angel. You know, I've heard people say, well, yeah, but this probably wasn't true. It's probably an old wives' tale legend. Listen, you got all these people laying out there, something's going on. Something's going on, because you wouldn't lay there for a year if nobody got healed. Come on now. Okay, so anyway, but notice what happens here. For an angel, we already read that. In verse 5, now a certain man who had been there infirmity 38 years. Now let me tell you, ask you this. You really think this guy's going to wait 38 years outside of a pool that nothing's happening? Come on. That's an old wives' tale. I'm not that stupid. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew, so evidently the gifts of the Spirit in operation, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, and he said to him, do you want to be made well? Okay, here's a question for you. A couple things. First off, Jesus goes specifically up to this one man. See there? That proves that it's only God's will to heal certain people. No, because Jesus would heal entire cities. Do I understand why just this one guy got healed this day? No, I don't. But can I start a doctrine that God only wants certain people healed because of it? No, I can't. Because there were entire cities that Jesus healed, multiple cities. And so I can't take one scripture and create a doctrine. I have to go through it all. But also, what about this thing? Well, if it's God's will, you know, if Jesus were alive today, he'd just clear out the hospitals. He doesn't even clear out Solomon's porches. You can't say that. It's not true. But notice here, he's just not going around healing everybody just because he wants to, because he asked the man, do you want to be made well? Now, again, does God love him before this? Yes, because Jesus is showing up. Does God want him well before this? Yes, obviously, because Jesus is showing up. But just because he wanted him well and just because he loved him, was he healed? No, because evidently there's something in this blocking it, and Jesus is, and guy has a little bit of a victim mentality, because he starts talking about, well, you know, I can't ever get there, all this happens. But Jesus asks him, do you want to be made well? Well, if Jesus is just going around healing people, just overriding people's will, just doing whatever he wants to, why did he ask him anything? Why didn't he just walk up, say, get up, you're healed, that's it? Because Jesus doesn't override people's will. You have a part to play in this earth. Why are children starving in Africa? Because we let them. Why are there birth defects? Because our granddaddy chose death rather than life. Talking about Adam. This is not God's fault. God even warned Adam, the day you eat of it, you'll surely die. He's trying to stop this. Now, I want you to look at something else. Here, let's go to Mark chapter 5. Now, this is the story of when Jesus shows up at the Gadarenes. Okay, he comes over in a boat. I'm running out of time, so I've got to cut down through this. He's run out of time. He shows up at the Gadarenes, and this demon-possessed fellow runs up. Now, I like to call this dude the crazy naked fella, because he was all night breaking chains, bawling, squalling, running loose naked. Now, I live in Port St. Lucie. I just happen to have to be honest with you. If I had a crazy naked fella running loose through the streets of Port St. Lucie that the police would handcuff and he'd never stop, and somebody shows up and delivered him, I would be shouting for joy. But these people aren't. He delivers the man. The man, you know, everybody talks about how big the devil is, but the devil runs up and is begging not to go into, you know, What have I do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you that you do not torment me. Do you know that God has he's an easier time with devils than his own people? The devils are like, I'll do whatever you say. Just give me a break. And it's his people that say, no, we don't want it. How do we know that? Because what happens next? He delivers the guy. But it costs them some pigs. So then those who fed the swine, because all the swine are dead, they told it in the city and in the country and went out to see what had just happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had deemed demon-possessed with a legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. So he's delivered. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told what had happened, about how the demon-possessed about into the swine. Now notice this. And then they began to plead with him to depart from the region. And you know what he did? He did. He left. Jesus didn't show up just to deliver this one man. There's 10 cities here. It's the Decapolis. He wants to deliver all these people. But when God begins to move and he delivers this guy, they tell him, you need to leave. And does Jesus say, well, I'm the Son of God. I'm just doing what I want to. I showed up to heal people. I'm just going to do it. No. What did he do? He got in the boat. Why did he get in the boat? Because the people told him to. They refused him, just like they did in his hometown, just like the people in Luke chapter 5. God might want you well, but if you tell him no, either by your actions or your refusing to believe him, don't be surprised if you don't get it. But this is the reason that there is a good God who loves and that there's disease and hurt in the earth, because this is what we do. We tell him to leave, and he does. Why? Because we were given dominion. We got more to say on this. Listen to these important announcements.
Kurt Owen wants you to know that God really loves you. He sent his son Jesus as a substitute for you. He took on your sins so you would not have to pay the penalty for sin. He also took on your sickness, disease, and injury so that you would not have to suffer from them. In order for you to receive the benefits of this redemptive power, you simply must accept Jesus as your Savior and make him your Lord. This is an easy and simple thing to do and will have wonderful eternal effects. All you need to do is believe that he is alive and that he loves you. If you want the power of the living God to change your life from the inside out, simply repeat this simple prayer. Jesus, please come into my heart. Please save me. I believe that you are alive and that you love me, and that you gave your life for me. I believe that because I am asking, you are becoming alive in me right now. You are making me a new creation. I give you my old life while I accept your life. I also make you my Lord. I commit to do what you say with the understanding that you will never burden me with things that I cannot do, but rather you lovingly teach me step by step. Holy Spirit, please also come into my life and empower me with the very power of God, the way that Jesus said you would. Father, thank you for giving your Son and making this provision for me, so that now I can actually call you Father. If you have just prayed this prayer, we would like to put a couple of things in your hand so that you will get some help on the path of your new life. Simply email the words, I have been saved, to connect@kurtowen.com. Everybody in this ministry will continue to pray for you. We all love you. And we all want you to have a wonderful, wonderful life in God. Welcome to the family of God.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Danpost, Lucchese Boots, along with